Welcome to Messy,
Sexy,
Me.
This is Quincy,
Jesse,
and Nikki.
Don't tune in if you're perfect.
Hello, everyone. This is Messy, Sexy, Me, and we're back for a bonus episode. Not boner, but bonus.
Darn, it's not that
hi,
show.
Hi. So, ladies, we've been off for a little bit, but we wanted to get back together to discuss something kind of scary, well, very scary, that happened to Jess. But first, let's start with some good news, because I don't think our listeners know what's going on with you. Tell us more.
I'm pregnant!
Thank God, because I was getting a little worried about what you've been eating.
And you know, as when we don't say, you're looking good, babe. Looks like a healthy relationship.
Yes,
on some happy weight.
You're eating very, very well.
Nice to me.
And we also know the sex of the baby now.
Yes. And we are having a girl.
Yay!
That was nothing. I pushed the pink button because it was pink and it did nothing.
Yeah, pink was just effect.
So I still don't know how to use the sound.
I wish I had a visual.
I don't know how to use the test cam sound.
I spit all over my mic.
Oh, yeah. Giving us a visual. Okay.
So yeah, so Jessie gets all like get out of jail cards free because she is pregnant, and so she can spit, she can burp, she
I'm
can
sweating,
pass gas.
Right now.
She can have baby brain and forget things.
Yes. Don't mind me if I can't explain things or articulate incorrectly. Just let it go.
But you are glowing and you look beautiful.
That's called sweat.
Pass it on to other people then. Stop investing in skincare. Just sweat. That's the secret. But okay, so why don't you kick it off? Because this is really interesting. So this situation has happened to all three of us in very, very distinct and unique ways.
And we had no idea that all three of us no longer have
an appendix.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't think we have a button for that.
Wait, there's an ambulance sound.
Oh, there's a heartbeat.
Oh, that makes me sad. Oh, I was worried about the baby.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
Party sound. Okay, so tell us what happened recently, Jess.
Okay, so 17 weeks in, everything's going great. I'm getting prepared to go to Coachella. We just booked our Hawaii baby moon, and my husband's getting ready to go to Tokyo for work for 2 weeks. That weekend, I had felt like I self-diagnosed, so everyone never self-diagnose.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
I learned a huge lesson.
We all still will anyways.
And I basically had food poisoning, thinking I had food poisoning. And so I felt nauseous the next morning. Well, that night I was throwing up from midnight until 10 a.m., just nonstop throwing up. And I had a fever and I just thought it was food poisoning. My husband's like, we should go to the hospital, we should go to the emergency room. Like, that's why we have insurance. But the last two times I went to the emergency room was kind of traumatic because you're in there for 5 hours.
Yes.
And yeah. I'm throwing up, I'm pregnant, and thinking about having to throw up in a public toilet while I'm waiting, mm-hmm. I was like not doing it. So
maybe you want to throw up more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to do it. So I just told myself, you know, just suck this up. And, you know, I just feel as women and many men, we have a high pain tolerance threshold, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So I was just sucking it up. So he had to leave to Tokyo and he's like really worried. And I was like, don't worry. If it gets really bad, I will go to the hospital. So after he left, the fever went down. I decided to stay home, and then for the whole week, I had caught a cold. So I was just in bed, and I was just sick. And, you know, all of a sudden, that Tuesday's coming up, I wake up, and my right side of my stomach on the lower part, I felt like I had the craziest cramp. Like, I pulled my groin. That's what it felt like. And I couldn't get out of bed, and I was like, oh, I can't push this off anymore. So I called my mom. She didn't pick up. And I called Jenny. And Jenny's like, I'm coming over. So she comes. She picks me up. And she's driving a Rubicon Jeep. And she's like, get in. I'm like, sure. And I'm just bopping around.
Like,
and I'm
where's the stepladder?
Man.
I was so nauseous. And she had to pull over. And I threw up. And I was like, I can't. I was in so much pain. And I was like, this is terrible. We get to the hospital. And you know, we wait. And luckily, because I'm pregnant, they bump me up from 5 hours to 3. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm in there, there's this bum who was in there, and he's screaming like, "Someone turn off the fucking lights!" And I'm like, "We're in an emergency room." Yeah. I was like, "Please, someone turn off the lights!" And it was just so chaotic, and I was just patiently waiting, and I'm just sweating, and I'm just like, "Oh man, I really need this IV. I'm so dehydrated." We get in there and they do all my vitals and I'm like, "Hey doc, like, you know, I had food poisoning. This is, you know, what happened. You know, just give me an IV. We'll call it a day." And then he's like, "No, we need to give you an ultrasound." Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Okay, fine." So he goes and I wait for a while. They do this ultrasound, but they checked every organ. But because my daughter's so big at the time, not mm-hmm. too big, but mm-hmm. 17 weeks big enough, she blocked my appendix. Mm. So they looked around, they couldn't figure it out, and they're like, "From what the test seemed like, you may have appendicitis." And I was like, "Whoa, I had no idea." Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking maybe it was my fibroids. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. when she was checking my uterus and stuff, she's like, "Your fibroids are kind of, you know, not big, but they're there and they're right where your daughter's at. So maybe she's, you know, hitting that." Mm-hmm. So I kept thinking it was that. And then they were like, "Okay, wait around. You have to do an MRI scan because you have to check," or CT scan, I can't remember. But they scanned my body, and this is around like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And then they're like, "Okay, it's official. You have
appendicitis.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, "Okay, what does that mean?" And in the meanwhile, my husband's in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jenny's calling him, letting him know, and he's freaking out because he's like, "You're pregnant. You know, I need to come home." And then I talk to him, I'm like, "We're chilling. We're having a good time. Don't worry. Everything's fine." And he's just like, "Okay." And once they take the CT scan, they're like, "Yeah, 100% you have appendicitis." Mm-hmm. And they said it's acute. Like, you know, you waited a long time for this. That means the whole time, the whole week that I was at home, mm-hmm. that's when it kicked in. Mm-hmm. And I was just mm-hmm. thinking it was, you mm-hmm. know, food poisoning, which from what I've heard, a lot of people think it's food poisoning, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're like, "Okay, well, we can do the surgery." And these young two doctors came in, and Jenny starts asking questions, and she's like, "So she wants to go to Coachella. Tell her it's not a good idea. She wants to go to Hawaii. Tell her it's not a good idea. What kind of drugs are you giving her?" And they're like, "We're probably going to give her Oxycontin. And she's like, "How many?" They're like, "About 5. "She's going to need 10. I was like, "Jenny, do you need my drugs? Like, relax, right? And the guys were like, "Oh, we're going to go to Coachella. That sounds like it's going to be fun." And they basically downplayed it, like, normal appendicitis. The mm-hmm. surgery is about 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, you're in and out. It's nothing that severe. It's fine. So, I mean, we were talking for like 30 minutes and they had this whole energy that was like uppity up, and this whole day is dragging out. I'm like, "Oh, I can do this surgery." I call Daniel. I'm like, "Hey, don't come. This surgery is going to be fast. I'll be out. Like, baby's fine. Like, everything's going to be okay." And he's like, "Okay, you know, just keep me updated." And then they come back, and their face, like, dropped completely. And I'm like, "Uh-oh." And he's like, "I have, you know, a serious question to ask you." And I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "Is this a planned pregnancy?" And I'm like, "Excuse me? Are you asking me if I want to keep my child? Like, do I want to keep my daughter?" And he's like, "Yes." I'm like, "Of course I want to keep my baby, you know?" And that made my heart drop. I started, like, tearing up, and I'm like, "What are you telling me? Like, what's your point right now?" And they're like, "Well, you have a 20% chance of losing her, because since you're in the second trimester, you're very lucky, because the first trimester, she's too small, so she might not be able to withstand the surgery. Yes. And then the third trimester, she's too big, and we can't actually surgically remove it because of how big she is." Mm. Like, the risk is way higher, you know? Yeah. And he's like, "You're at 20%, but if you wait any longer..." They're like, "You could wait, but your percentage goes higher, you know?" And in my head, I'm like, "Oh my God." And then I've never had a surgery. I've never been under, you know, I never had anesthetics. I never had anything before. And I'm just crying because I'm just like, wow, this is real. I've been pregnant with this baby in me for 17 weeks. And I'm just thinking, I didn't think that I would ever have to think I might lose this child that's in me, you know? And it was such a reality check. And I had to sit there for a minute and figure out, like, how am I going to share this with Daniel without freaking him out? Mm-hmm. And in my head, I just kept thinking, about him because it's weird. We're pregnant. As women, we're the ones having the baby. We're there. So I'm like, I can just take it. And, you know, this whole time I've been just taking all of it, you know, like no problem there. But how is he going to feel so far away, you know? Oh. And then I call him and I'm like, we have to have a real family conversation right now. This is serious. And he's like, okay. And I'm like, we have the decision to make. I was like, I think that I need to have the surgery now. I was like, if we wait any longer, the percentage goes higher. I was like, but you need to let me know how you feel, you know? And he's like, no. Like, he was quiet. And that's what hurt me more is because just hearing him pause and kind of dissecting and figuring it out and emotionally, like, taking it in, I can feel all of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just made my heart break because I wish I could just make him not feel it. And I can just do it all right. And he's like, all right, you know, you got to do it. So I was like, okay. So I get off and then the doctor comes and he's like, you should be okay though. You know, I'm one of the best surgeons. We do this a lot. You know, don't worry. I know the percentage might be high. And I'm like, well, in my head, you guys told me the percentage of having appendicitis is 0.07. I have a 20% chance of losing my baby. I was like, that is a really high percentage, you know? Mm-hmm. And
I mean, any percentage is going to be high. Yeah, losing your child.
Yeah.
Yes. But even if it's one.
But just having a 0.07% yeah. chance of having appendicitis and I caught it, it's like, oh my yeah. God, who is going through this, right? So they're setting us up for a midnight surgery. Wow. So
this is like the same day too.
It's the same day. This is all within a 12-hour period because wow. I got in there at noon
right. yeah.
thinking I'm going to get an IV. And then it starts spiraling yeah. into this movie where it yeah. just keeps getting worse and worse. And I just thought I was just going to get some IV pumped in me and call yeah. it a day, you know?
Like, but I mean, once they do a CT and they see it, so if anyone out there has ever had appendicitis or knows anything about it, once it leaks into your body, you actually can die. So you have to have surgery. And the mm-hmm. sooner the better, because I'm assuming it was leaking. That's how they were able to see it as well in your body. So, I mean, you had to get the surgery no matter what, because if you leave it, you will die.
Yeah.
So then how did you finally make the decision?
So, you know, we sat there, had to sit on it for a bit. And then of course, you know, we said yes. And the craziest part that I was thinking, like, kept coming in my head is like, my fecal matter like infected my appendix and they take my baby out. And I was like,
did you just self-diagnose?
I was like,
what? Don't do that. Yeah. Even if it's 39.
My fecal matter. Why? Because the entire pregnancy I had been like constipated yeah, because okay. I was taking an extra folic acid.
But that's not what causes appendicitis. Actually, they really don't even know. Yeah. They don't even know why we have an appendix in the first place. It's mm-hmm. really yeah. not even useful.
Yeah. So I just thought, you know, damn, my constipation is just like,
it was not because of your shit.
So when we decided, we had to wait around. We were in the hospital, and then, you know, they're doing everything with me. And then it was really interesting. When it was getting close to time, I had to call Daniel. Like, he had already booked his flight. He was getting ready to go. And he was like, okay, I'm going to go, you know, go on the airplane, everything. So I called him. I'm like, I'm going to head in there soon, so I just want to call you. And then the thing that broke my heart the most is how he responded, because I was like, I know how to compartmentalize and just do something and then just get it done, you know, and just like block it all out. But then when I talked to him, he was just pausing and not really expressing how he feels. And I know the reason why is because he's trying to be strong for me, right? Mm-hmm. But in my head, I'm like, say how you feel, because if something happens in the surgery, you know, I need you to say how you feel. Yeah. And then at the end, you know, he was quiet, and then he started crying, and then that's when I was like, oh my God, this is real. Like, we're really having this moment right now. And it's just so crazy to think everything was okay, and then now it's like, wow, we could lose our daughter together, you know? And but that made me feel so calm too, because it's like, to feel his love for our family mm-hmm. was so important, because you know, this whole time I've been pregnant, of course you're pregnant, but I haven't been really feeling her. I haven't yeah. felt the kicks. So she's existing, but I don't know that she's there really, mm-hmm. right? Besides the physical aspect of it. And at that moment, I really felt like we were a family. And I really felt like, yeah. wow, we're really coming together and fighting for this, you know, to make sure that she's okay and I'm okay. Because either way, if something happens, both of us could be not okay, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we got off the phone, it was really interesting because everybody, the whole team, super cool. And then the two girls that were the anesthesiologists. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's two girls, but then this Caucasian male came in, and he like walked in, and he looked like a normal guy, but the way he talked was like, he came in, he's like, okay, so I'm blah, 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 blah. And he's like, and you're going to be okay. Don't you worry.
Oh, my God. That would freak me the fuck out.
And Mr. Rogers came in. Your doctor is Mr. Rogers.
And the worst part, he, like, starts touching my foot. So when he's talking to me, he's touching my foot. And I look at Jenny, like, why the fuck is this motherfucker touching me right now? I was like, this motherfucker needs to stop touching me. And he's like, you're going to be fine. Like, don't you worry. You're under control. We're the best, you know, that there is. And I was just like, oh, my God, get him out of the room. Like, my anxiety started shooting up, you know? So I was like, damn. And so it was time for me to go in, and I've never been in a surgical room. And as soon as like, they pull me in, they're like, get ready. It's going to be very cold. And as soon as you go in, it's winter. It's, like, so cold in there. And I was like, oh, my fucking God. Like,
did they give you a warm blanket?
Yeah, they did. But in my head, I'm dramatic. So I'm like, oh, this is where I'm going to go to die. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, all this shit is just going through my head, you know? But I was like, stay calm, stay calm. Like, think about the baby. Think about the baby. Don't elevate the levels for the baby. So I get in there, and then they lift me up, and then they put me on the bed. And then I start to think, like, oh, no, I fucking block shaved my crotch. Like, I'm pregnant and I forgot to just shave the whole thing because it's so hard to see. So I was like, oh no, they're gonna see all that.
And that's then, what you're thinking about in this moment,
because that's a natural reaction, you know, like, oh no, my whole vagina is gonna be out, they're gonna see, like, my vagina is, like, oh no. And then I started thinking, the anxiety started kicking in, and I was like, oh my God, what if this is the last time I have her? What if this is, like, what if all of these things and all the visuals started going through my head, you know, like, of being pregnant when we went to the Clippers game, and then all of that, and then waking up and learning she's there. It was weird. It was like this whole visualization of all the important moments of how she's so special to me really started to flash. And I was like, oh no, like, I really hope my baby's gonna be okay. And then they put me on the bed, and then the lady's like, here's a pillow. So she shoved a pillow, and I'm like about to fall off the bed. I'm like, the fuck is going on? Like, I can't even fully be on this bed right now. And then I started to freak out, and I looked at the exits, and I was like, how the fuck do I get out of here? And then they're starting to wire me up and all of these things. And I'm like, oh my God, if I can't handle this and I have the anxiety attack, I'm going to rip all of this off and run out the door. Like, that was exactly what I was thinking. So I was literally sweating, having a panic attack. And then the lady, I think, could tell that I was freaking out. And she brings the mask and she puts the oxygen. She goes, I'm not going to knock you out yet. I'm just giving you some air so you can breathe. Mm-hmm. And so I start breathing. I'm like, stop thinking negative. Think positive. Think for the baby. Think for the baby. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, behind me, someone goes, you're gonna be okay. Don't worry. And then I knocked the fuck out. I was 30 seconds away from ripping off all the cords, and then this motherfucker's in my ear, and that's the last thing I heard before I knocked out.
Oh, that's a horrible audio.
Wow. Oh my God. I was like, no. So that, and then,
like, a very scary movie.
Yeah, no.
And then you're out.
Yeah.
What and is then, that doula's baby or something that you said earlier? This is what it could be.
So as soon as I woke up, it was kind of crazy because it was like I got hit by a truck, right? And I'm like, oh, I'm so heavy. Like, where am I? I'm discombobulated. Where am I? But it was crazy because I've not considered myself a mom, and I've not considered myself having that kind of instinctual reaction where as soon as I open my eyes, I start crying. I had tears in my eyes, and I'm like, I need to hear I need to hear her heartbeat. I need to hear my baby's heartbeat. And I just start crying, and I didn't even, like, think about it. I didn't even feel these words, nothing. It just came out. And then I started freaking out, and then the nurse next to me held my hand, and in my head I was, like, not being comforted by it, but she looked at me, and she's pregnant, and she's like, I totally understand. She's like, we're gonna get, you know, the person for the ultrasound here, and that super soothed me right there. And so we waited for 30 minutes, and I guess the guy had delivering a baby, and then when he came, I was like, I need to hear her heartbeat. And then as soon as he came, he let me hear it, and she was like 143 like wow. heartbeat. So she was doing good, and she was regulated.
Fine. A little fighter over there.
Wow, what a sigh of relief you probably let out.
It was crazy just to think all of that, but thank God she's just a fighter and she got through it. And, you know, God is good. The universe is good.
Yeah.
Whatever was going to happen was what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, now it's our story to have. And the funniest part is after we went to go see my OBGYN, she knows the surgeon. And I guess they had told my best friend after I came out and I was in the hospital, they were like, it was actually a lot more severe than we thought. She was like 10 hours away from it rupturing. Like yeah. it was that severe. Mm, yeah. Like I had delayed it for so long. Yeah. yeah. So to the point where both of us, it could have just been terrible, right?
Yeah.
And so it was crazy because she's like, wow, that was pretty gnarly. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I saw it. And I'm like, what? And I was like, why didn't anyone text me? I go, I want to see what my appendix looks like. And she's like, it was bad. She goes, it was gnarly. And I was shocked. And she's like, you're very, very lucky that everything worked out. So, yeah. you know, at the end of the day, it's a funny, dark comedy, but it's wild to be 17 weeks pregnant.
Yeah.
Never had a surgery.
Mm-hmm. You know, never been under.
Your man is under. In Korea.
Yeah. He's out of town, you know. And then, yeah, and even the part I didn't share was thinking about when I was going under, I think a huge part of my anxiety was thinking about him flying and not knowing when he lands, yeah. if his child is still there.
Yeah.
And that made me cry so much, like more anxiety. I felt so sad for him to think that, you know. So the fact that it all worked out and he came and, you know, it brought our family closer together. It made us both realize what's important, mm-hmm. you know, and what a team we are. And right. even in the most stressful moments, we handled it so well. I wasn't like freaking out, yelling at him and blaming him. And he wasn't freaking out. You know what I mean? Like there's so many ways yeah. people handle stress,
mm-hmm.
but we both were so cognizant of each other and so gentle. And I'm so grateful for that because that's the true, you can really see like where you guys are at and how you guys handle things and what the future is going to be like. So that made me feel super comforted after everything.
Yeah. And that bond, you guys, this was the first family emergency
yeah.
with the three of you. And it was life or death, which is, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
At the same time. But then getting through it, I think that it not only made you closer, but yeah. probably much stronger together.
Yeah. yeah. And then after that, we got to go to Coachella. So I went to Coachella and it was crazy. That was like 3 weeks though. 3 weeks. And then we went to Hawaii and I couldn't go in the water, but it was the first time we felt her kick yeah, and he felt
yeah,
her kick.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's weird how things play out, but it all works out. And yeah, I'm just so grateful to be able to share this story in a positive. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for that. And the crazy part, though, is both of you guys were working.
Yes.
So when it was happening, I didn't write anyone because I was like, I actually just posted an Instagram story because I was kind of supposed to do a bunch of stuff. And I was like, hey, I can't. And then I didn't get to write you guys. And then after connecting, I didn't get to talk to Nikki, but I talked to Q, and then
yeah, I found out through a third party, and I was like, wait, what?
Like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, Nikki and I were on a work project out of town, and so we were actually working that day this all went down, and you went into the emergency room, mm-hmm. but I think you shared something on social media, but we weren't even on our phones.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend, I was at brunch with some friends, and, you know, somebody came up to me and was like, how's Jessie? I'm like, oh, she's good.
Yeah, she's pregnant.
but she's morning sickness, and they're like, no, she was in the emergency room. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I was mad. How do we not know this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I called Jess. I'm like, what? You were in the hospital? And then that wow. What a crazy! And then, you know, I think I saw you at Coachella, and I was like, oh, she's good. She's at Coachella, like partying, whatever, baby's first Coachella, baby Chella.
What hospital?
And I was like, we're talking about the same person?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're very strong. You recover quickly. You're physically strong, but mentally and emotionally, you know, this is your baby.
Yeah.
So getting through that, those 48 hours must have been excruciating.
Yeah.
But also you recovered quickly because you think it's a little incision on your belly, but it hurts. And no, it when hurts. You're recovering yeah. from it, you're down for a little bit. So you were up and running. I was like, this bitch is at Coachella after surgery.
Yeah, that was like 3 weeks after though.
I
stayed down. I didn't walk. I knew I had a really intense 3, 4, 5 weeks. So I knew I really needed to recover.
Okay. So that's what So my timeline is off. You weren't at Coachella yet, but yeah. I was like, but yeah.
She recovered for a couple of days first.
Yeah. I mean, wow. Well, I'm so glad everything worked out well. And, you know, my story is it's way different from yours. And, you know, it's interesting about appendicitis too. You usually get it when you're much younger.
Yeah.
It's very rare you get it past your 20s, let alone your 30s. Yep. And I got it in my late 30s. But there's normal pain level, then there's high tolerance pain level, and then there's Quinsy pain level.
Because this is nuts, guys. Because I'm sitting there and I'm like, yeah, I went through appendix surgery.
Like, I had it too.
Wait, I don't have an appendix. I'm like, the fuck? We both don't have appendixes?
Yes, all three of us.
And then we look at Nikki, and he's like, I don't either. And I'm like, three of us? Messy, sexy crew.
We're all Madelines.
So something's up with that. I'm like, and it's crazy because they really don't know, like I said, what it's for or mm-hmm. why we get it. But when I had gotten it, I remember the day I went to my favorite taco stand and I ate a serrano pepper. So I thought, I was like, oh, you should not have eaten that
thing. Heartburn.
That whole thing. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I waited 48 hours because I hate the emergency room. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. And at the time, my husband was, I think you need to go get checked out. So I went to a gynecologist because I was like, what is going on?
Am I
having too much sex? What is happening? And so I got an ultrasound too. So the thing with the ultrasound is they go into that area.
Yeah.
They don't go into the rest of your body. So they were looking in the wrong place, or she was. And I have excellent doctors. I go to Cedars. I have excellent insurance. And she was like, there's nothing wrong. She's like, where is it? I'm like, it's kind of my right side. It's a pain here. She's like, you don't have a temperature. You're not throwing up. Those are the first symptoms of appendicitis. So if you are high fever and you're throwing up, and diarrhea, things like that.
Yep.
So it's people will often think it's food poisoning or stomach flu.
Yeah.
But those are symptoms of all the same things. But I didn't have any of those symptoms. I'm like, it just hurts right here. It feels like a pain.
Isn't that crazy? And she had no symptoms.
Yeah, she was like, okay, well, you must have gas. Why don't you take some antacid? So 2 days I'm eating Tums, like they're going out of style, like I'm ready to start snorting it, you know, I was like Tums. And she's like, yeah, you can't have too many Tums, it's fine, have as much as you need. And it wasn't getting better. And then on the third or fourth day, I'm like, yeah, it's still hurting now. So I go on the fifth day. And so she's like, I can't rule out appendicitis, but you have no symptoms. And we did an ultrasound. And she said, okay, well, you have to go. She sent me in to get a CT. And then so I go on the fifth day for the CT, and then the sixth day, I think I was in Orange County, and I, you know, my doctors are in LA. I was in Orange County going to a baby shower, and I hadn't eaten anything yet. So I get a call, and my doctor's like, where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm in Orange County. And she's like, you need to get into the emergency room right now. She's like, you have appendicitis.
Oh, my gosh.
So she said, you need to, and I was like, can I eat first?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so hungry. She's like, Quincy, you can die from this. You need to get into the emergency room. Like, do I have to go to the one in Orange County? Can I go to Cedars? Because they're my favorite hospital. They have totally nice facilities. She's like, go to the nearest one. And I didn't listen. I'm going to go back to LA. And I call my husband. And he's like, oh, my God, get to the – and I'm like, okay, can you pack my clothes and my slippers? Because it's cold and I'm, like, dressed cute and high heels. I'm like, I'm wearing – you know. And he's like, I'll meet you at the emergency. So I get into the emergency room. You know how you fill out the intake form? And you're right. It's packed. It's a Saturday.
Yeah.
And there's the whole room is full, and you have to fill out the form. What is your pain level? I'm like,
yeah,
four.
I put 7.
I'm a four. And And then the doctors, they read my chart. I'm already in the system because they called, my doctor called it in. They're like, you have appendicitis. You should be at 10.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, should I change it to 7? And they're like, no, see? We're prepping you for surgery. But see, they did the CT already, so you hadn't gotten it. But they did mine, so we know you get the into the emergency room. And then I was like, can I just have a snack from the vending? You cannot eat before surgery. And I was like looking at my husband like, and so we get in and I'm joking and laughing. They're prepping me for surgery and the doctors all come in. I didn't get your doctor, thank God, because I'd probably punch him. And the doctors come in and I'm joking with them and laughing and I'm about to go under. They're like, you are the happiest appendicitis patient we've ever seen in our life. Like, nuts. This is not normal. I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm just really hungry. And so they're like, we know. You've told everybody in the emergency room you're hungry.
So feed this woman.
So I go under. And then I wake up and I'm in this luxury suite at Cedars-Sinai.
They're so nice. Yeah, I can't wait to have a baby.
I think I was in the pregnancy suite or something because they were so full. I was like, this is where all the celebrities have babies and stuff. And then I wake up and I'm like, ow. And this hurts so bad. And my ex-husband was like, got me sushi and everything. I'm like, I can't eat this. Get that out of my face. Now I couldn't eat because I was trying to recover and stuff.
Oh, man.
And I was like,
I'm not pregnant. I didn't have a baby right now.
But I was craving it because before I was like, oh, we're going to have sushi that night for dinner. So it was in my head.
Oh, my gosh.
And so the interesting thing is, so my ex-husband saw it. He's like, all right. So they took this thing out of you and it was a size of a large, between a golf ball and a softball. And he said, but your body, it leaked. So mine was leaking into my body, but my body built this casing around it. It was like a rock almost.
And it was like protecting you almost.
Yes, it like built a case around the leak and they took out the golf ball. And this is could be why it didn't spread completely throughout my body for a week because it was leaking. And he was like, yeah, they kept it and they're going to monitor it and do tests on it. They're like, nobody understands what happened. He's like, can you tell me if you're an alien or are you even a human? Am I married to an alien? And so, yeah, so that happened. But
they're like, we're going to... next to the Smithsonian.
Guinness World of Records.
NASA's looking at it. It's like being passed around, you know, all these.
We're going to drop this off in Mars where it belongs.
But yeah, I mean, I am very lucky. My body it does its own thing. I've had several different emergency cases where I don't know what happened, but I'm okay. I'm very fortunate and lucky. I will say when you do get it, it's no joke because you can literally die if it spreads too, the leakage spreads too much in your body. But what about you, Nikki?
Gosh, this is like bringing it all back. Right? And I'm like, it was a fun time back then. But this is, I didn't know, I never knew it was a life or death situation. No, I had just moved to Los Angeles. So this was in 2013. And I had just got laid off at Mix TV. So I was in between jobs. I just accepted a job at Google, but then I got, you know, laid off at Mix. So the 3 months in between that I was moving from the Bay Area to LA is when it decided to happen,
which is nuts.
Which is stupid, but I just moved to Burbank and just getting settled in. And then my mom's like, I want to come visit you. I'm like, okay, great. I'll pick you up from the airport. And then I don't know what happened, but the day that I was supposed to pick her up, she was just landing. I woke up with the worst pain in my side I've ever felt. And I was like, man, what did I eat?
Yep.
You know, I was just thinking like, what is this? And I'm like, I'm trying to go bathroom, but it was really hard to move because it was just excruciating. Like, you know, you're both describing, well, maybe not cute because she has a high pain threshold, but it was excruciating. And I was telling my mom, like, I think I'm sick. I'm going to stay a little bit. Like, sorry if I leave you at the airport a little bit. I just can't move to get into the car to drive to the airport to pick you up right now. And she's like, okay, take your time. But we're just kind of playing it off. Like, I just had like a really bad tummy ache. So I was able to muster up the energy. I guess I had a lapse in like pain. So I was like, okay, I think I can come get you now.
Wow.
But then as I was getting in the car, picking her up, we're like, let's go grab some food because, you know, my mom's visiting LA, staying with me for the first time for the weekend. And, you know, it was our mom and daughter time. I remember we went to this Chinese restaurant on San Fernando Boulevard and we ordered the food. But the moment the food hits the table, I had the pain again. So I was like, man, do I need to take a shit? So I was like, Mom, I need to go to the bathroom because the pain's hurting again. Went to the bathroom. Nothing was coming out, but it was just still pain. I was just trying to do everything to get it away. I was a little bit more embarrassed that I was in the bathroom for so long because it was like one of those restrooms where there's only one like bathroom versus a whole bunch of stalls. And I have a weird thing about doing any of that in like a public restroom. I was like, somebody's waiting for me.
Like panicking.
Like someone's got to open the door by accident. I've been here too long. Like by the time like the food was getting cold and I was like, Mom, I'm like, I'm really hurting. So she's like, okay, like, let's figure it out, you know. So we were walking to my car, and that's when I literally just doubled over. I couldn't walk anymore. And I was like, Mom, I can't do anything right now. And so I had to end up, like, driving still.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's just like, you know, I picked my mom from the airport. I mean, she knows how to drive, too. But it's like she doesn't know the area as well. So I was like, I had to like kind of do both. And so we went to urgent care and they were like, oh, you need to go to the ER. And at the time, I didn't know there was a fucking difference. So I was like, wait, what?
Same.
So I was like going to urgent care, like, oh, you need to go to the ER. I'm like, isn't that like right here? You know? And they're like, no, you got to go. And in my mind, I'm like, how much is this going to cost? Yes. Like, yeah. I have no insurance right now. Like, what the fuck? And so we go to the hospital and the pain is just going up and going down, going up. I think I answered that threshold thing out of 7. Yeah. So, or Quincy 0. I wrote down 7 as my threshold. And so they took scans and stuff, but they didn't really know what it was. I also remember calling my friends, the Chalanis, who are like a roommate's like a doctor, and he was in the Los Angeles area. I even think they drove up to like check on me to talk doctor talk because I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about. And he's like, let me talk to the doctor. And so they were doing all that stuff while my mom and I were there just to figure out what the hell was going on. They were thinking it was appendicitis, but they couldn't say 100% sure. And at this moment, I was like, I'm already in the hospital. It's taken already 5 hours out of my freaking day of the time I'm supposed to spend. My mom, get the fucker out. You know, like I'm there already. You're already going to charge me for this room, seeing the doctor. You're already going to charge me for all this shit. So I might as well take the fucker out. Anyways, I think it made me and my mom bond even more because we ended up staying overnight.
Yeah.
And she like got into the medical gurney with me to like sleep with me. And I was just like, I remember like, this is probably not the first experience of LA you wanted. She's like, nope, but I'm with you. So
isn't that nuts though that your mom was with you?
Yeah.
She flew in when that happened.
It flew in right. So I was like, it was a blessing in disguise. Yeah. Like if I had an appendicitis any other weekend, I would have been on my own. And I just moved to LA. I don't really have that many friends in LA. And I was just like, I don't know what to do. So they took it out. They never ruled that it was, but it was like some weird thing. And I guess that's, again, with appendicitis, you don't know why you're getting it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but we don't need it, right? They're like, yeah. I'm like, don't take it out. Because if it might be that, just take it out. And in regards to insurance, it was so crazy. The day that I went in for surgery was the last day I could call in to qualify for COBRA.
Crazy.
For my last job at Mix. If I did not enroll in COBRA, which was a really great plan, by the way, so we never got paid a lot there, but like our health insurance was like taken care of. But COBRA, you pay $600 a month and they'll take care of the entire bill. So I was able to enroll the last day of COBRA to pay $600 for this procedure, so retroactive, to take care of a $40,000 bill.
Wow. That's insane.
And like from that point on, I'm like, if anybody has questions about insurance or how to make sure that you're covered and all of this, like I'm happy to go through it because I definitely learned all the hack codes to like pass through all the menus because I was on the phone a lot just trying not to pay 40 grand. Google hadn't even kicked in yet, so I had to like figure out how to do all this stuff.
Oh my God.
But
wow.
I mean, that was just my experience, but I mean, way different from the
That's crazy that yours is 40. Mine came out to $136,000.
Wow.
Because of my insurance, which we're very, very fortunate for, because we knew we were having a baby, so we got the most expensive one.
Yeah.
I only paid $32 out of pocket, and my max out of pocket's $46.
Yeah.
So I only had to pay that much to have the baby. So I'm good. But when you told me that.
100, not 1,000, right?
136. Yeah, 36.
Okay, I was like, $36,000.
But if I was in your situation where, because I had
I'm not, I stopped working with Granite and then I moved over to Daniels. But in that meantime too, if that happened, when you said that to me, I had to go and check my stuff. I was like, oh my God, was I in the middle? And like that happens because $136,000 can cripple you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That is what it costs now to have surgery. And so that is important. But Cobra, if you're in an independent, now we're getting into, you know, insurance stuff, but if you're an independent person or freelancer, you can qualify for Cobra and it's really good insurance. And I highly recommend it. I mean, I was really fortunate because my husband at the time had, he spared no expense with, you know, the best insurance. And we could go anywhere and... Like I said, shout out to Cedars.
Can you sponsor all of our insurance?
I'm still with them too.
Me too. And my nurses were a godsend.
Incredible. Like, and doctors, yeah, the doctors are amazing. Everybody. And the facilities.
Amazing.
Are, and the machines that they use are very high tech. But anywhere you go, and whether or not you have good insurance, you know, my recommendation is always, always ask questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And even though, you know, I do have a high tolerance, knock on wood, but something told me, like, you need to go check this out and you need to go see. And thank God I did, because I would have probably went on for another 2 weeks and be like, hey, it's getting worse.
But it exploded out of the park.
I think I'm addicted to, you know, antacid now.
Like, you know, drinking it out of the bottle. Birthday. Like,
I have a Tums addiction.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, what are you in here for? Too much calcium?
I love that we all have these different stories. Yeah. That's what our podcast is about, is three women just surviving in life and during our careers, during a pregnancy, during just normal life, things we go through. And it's important that we got through it. And it's good that we share, because like I said, you can get appendicitis even later in life, even though technically you should be getting it as children and get it out of the way. But I'm glad that we all survived. And she is, Jess, especially your story where you're at now. I mean, that's such a huge blessing.
So. It's crazy, because if you think about it, I don't know if it was the same for you guys, but basically they incisioned above my belly. So I have this big scar above my belly. Yeah. And then they put a tiny hole to the...
There's three, right?
On the right side, So there's these three holes. So what they did was they inflated you with carbon monoxide.
So
and then they go in and then they, you know, cut it and poke it out and pull it out, right?
Yeah, but suck out any of the leakage.
Yeah, and then when I woke up, I thought I was already like 9 months pregnant, so I freaked out. So I was like, what is going on?
I've been under for 3 months.
That's what I
just came out of my coma.
I was like, is this Encino Man? Like, what is happening right
now? My second baby, actually.
Oh my God. And twins.
It took forever for it to go down, and I was like, oh no, what if I'm this big and then I get bigger? I was like, the stretch marks. So it's crazy, like, what surgical, like, everything you go through. Do you guys still have your scars?
Yeah. I was like, show it.
Mine is really tiny, so mine's
but it was three,
small.
Right?
I don't know, but remember, I had such a weird case where they're like, it's right there. And so they just cut me and got that out.
I remember, so this might be TMI, but I had never shaved my cha before. So my appendicitis was the first time it happened. So I remember when I looked down, I was like, who the fuck shaved my after getting out of surgery? I was like, I felt so violated. Yeah. I was like, I did not give you consent to shave my pubes before getting me surgery.
Someone else shaved your pubes before you ever did
that. I know. Yeah. I felt a little violated, not gonna lie. I was like, I was wearing underwear. You went underneath my underwear. So yeah, I have like, it was like the incision right above your pubic hair.
Like, ma'am, you are too hairy. We have to
they're like, we can't get in there safely.
Weed whacker. Yeah. Scalpel, weed whacker, give it to me.
Going to the jungle.
But no, that was my first time. So I was like, oh, that was the humor in it. But I was also like, what the fuck?
And just say with you, you were cleanly shaven but ready for some porn action. And you're like, no, man.
Did you say you had a block? This was only square?
This was only for my husband to
see. It was
see.
Blotch. No, it was like, I shaved some of it.
I literally thought you said Times Square. Like, you did landscaping.
I was looking at Nikki, is this a new thing?
Some of it's shaved, some of it's not. It looked like just jacked up weed whacker status.
Okay, yeah, I thought you said you got it blocked. So I was like, oh, you got like a square patch.
It's a new look.
I'm like, I've heard Brazilian and a landing strip, but not a block.
I'm like, this is new. Whatever floats your boat, Daniel.
Daniel wasn't floating on anything.
Well, see, I...
He would have drowned on that boat.
Once you have a baby, you're like, I don't give a fuck.
That's what I'm realizing.
You don't shape anything.
I remember when I was pregnant and they gave me epidural and I was spread eagle and the guy who gave me the epidural, the anesthesiologist, were standing there and I'm like, can you guys leave? Because my legs were spread open and I was, oh my God, get out of it. But now I don't care. I just want to eat. Is there any sushi in the hospital?
I will update you guys after I have a baby.
Oh my God. You know, they would kill to have sushi restaurants in a hospital right after women are pregnant because they haven't been able to. Things that you haven't been able to eat should be in every single hospital. You know how much
champagne?
Oh my gosh.
It should be a vending machine with champagne.
Cheese, deli meats, all that stuff.
I downed a bottle of champagne right after I gave birth.
Yeah, that's what I'm
hoping. Oh my gosh.
So thirsty, I was like, oh, and you're not supposed to do anything because you're only supposed
to. Is this like a business idea? I think we make a killing off of this.
Messy, sexy me emergency kit after surgery.
I know, right?
Delivery. Everything's delivered too.
Well, ladies, I am so glad we got to get together to do this little episode during our hiatus. And I can't wait to do our next season, first episode. I feel like it'll be either before Jess has a baby or right after.
Yeah.
Because we're going to want to know. We're going to want to see.
Can you take one of these mics into the labor?
You don't want to hear that zone.
We're going to be there.
I want to hear the heartbeat.
We're going to be there at the hospital, and that's where we're doing the episode.
Jesse's putting the mic to your stomach right now. Wait, that's the wrong one. This one.
I like the other one, really, for Jesse's baby.
I got scared for the baby, but
she was wilding out.
A headphone. It's a mic, so she couldn't hear.
I felt like she's going
to... I was like, ah!
She's going to come out kicking and screaming because she's like, yo, mom had appendicitis at 17 weeks. I'm a survivor.
She's a survivor.
That's going to be the theme song playing when she comes out.
Daniel made a playlist, and it's like, he has... God, I can't... Baby brain. Has all these like funny pregnancy songs on Spotify for me, so we'll add that one.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, ladies, guess it's time to sign off. We wanted to say thank you to everyone for listening in, and make sure you check your health always.
Yes, do not self-diagnose.
Yes. Oh, you will, but...
Go in. I really thought it was the In-N-Out.
Yeah.
And I haven't had In-N-Out since then. I really thought it was In-N-Out.
Well, I was thinking about burgers.
So on that note, we're going to sign off. This is Quincy,
Jesse,
and Nikki.
Bye, guys. Bye.